The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Anybody know what today is? The Sunday after Thanksgiving, right? Now, for a long time in my house, there was a very specific rule. You could not start to celebrate Christmas until at least the day after Thanksgiving. Now, I've gotten a little bit soft in my old age, and my kids have churned me a little bit, and I let them watch a Christmas movie the other day and wear Christmas pajamas, and we actually listened to Jingle Bells in July this year. Don't tell a lot of people that, but I've gotten a little bit softer, but it's funny because to me, this is still too early to celebrate Christmas. Maybe it's the fact that it was like 75 degrees the other day. I don't know, but like, it's still just a little bit too early to celebrate Christmas. And it's still kind of weird to look back and celebrate Thanksgiving because I don't know about you, but I ate so much on Thanksgiving Day that I really kind of want to blank that day from my memory and just kind of forget it for a little bit. And so this has always, for me, been kind of an in-between Sunday. You know what I mean by that? Like, it's not really Christmas season. Like, we're not there. By the way, if you want to help decorate for Christmas, next Saturday at 8 o'clock, we're going to have a decoration and work day at church, and we're going to decorate our sanctuary and our grounds for Christmas. And so you get to be a part of that next Saturday if you'd like to. That's not shameless. I don't know. That's a plug for that. Come help out with that. But it's too early to decorate for Christmas, and it's still kind of, we're past the point of Thanksgiving. And so it's an in-between Sunday. And as I started thinking about this idea of in-between Sunday or a time in between, it led me to the point in Scripture when Malachi, the Old Testament, ends, but we haven't quite gotten into the New Testament yet. If you look at the Bible, a lot of people think the Bible is laid out chronologically, right? And Genesis happens, and then it just goes one book after another. But really, the Bible is layered. It's layered, meaning that like there are times where it's chronological and it goes one book after the other after the other. But there are other times where like multiple books are happening at the same time. For instance, on Wednesday nights, we're in the book of Acts. While Acts is happening, oh, by the way, Wednesday night Bible study is awesome. You should be a part of Wednesday night Bible study. I love it. While Acts is happening, you have books like Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians being written while Acts is going on, and so those books are kind of layered. But this is one of those moments in the life of, or the timeline of Scripture where Malachi ends, and then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will all happen at the same time. But in between, there's this 400 years of silence. And when I say silence, that doesn't mean that God wasn't actively involved in caring for or taking care of his people. It means that for 400 years, there wasn't a prophet, a priest, or a king that God was using and speaking through to communicate with his people. So it's called the 400 years of silence, is what some people call it. It's the intertestamental period in your Bibles. But the idea here is that for 400 years, God, while he was still actively doing things and still actively caring for his people, he wasn't speaking to them through a specific avenue. So this is kind of an in-between period in Scripture. Now, what's interesting to me is that in this in-between time in Scripture, there's a lot that goes on. Just to give you a frame of reference, last week, Miss Ann told us about the pilgrims that came and landed. Anybody know how long ago that was? 403 years ago. So about as long ago as the pilgrims coming and landing on Plymouth Rock till this day right now is how long the nation of Israel went without a prophet, a priest, or a king, or anyone speaking on behalf of God to their people. Now, how many of you think that America has changed from when the pilgrims first landed here to today? How many of you think the nation of Israel, from the last time when Malachi proclaimed the last prophetic word from God to the birth of Jesus, all the way over in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John that we read about, do you think the 400 years changed the nation of Israel? Yeah, absolutely it did. And so it's interesting because there's some good things that changed, and there's probably some bad things that definitely changed. And this morning, what we're going to do is, as we look at this in-between period, this period of in-between the two different things, I think we can find some interesting things that kind of stood out to me as I was reading the story of Jesus, the birth story of Jesus. Some of them are good things, and then some of them are bad things. The other thing is we have to look at the last thing that God said to let him know what was important to his people. So our scripture, we're going to start out in Malachi chapter 3 this morning. That's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says this: "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be enough room in the store for you to store it. I will prevent pest and devouring of your crops on vines and fields. I will drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." Now, when this passage of scripture is usually talked about or proclaimed or read, it's talking about tithe. There's no doubt that God is talking about tithing here. He's telling the nation of Israel, your tithe, your 10%, what you're supposed to give to the priest, the priestly ministry, is important. So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. But there's something interesting to me about that. The tithe actually is meant to teach you and I what? To trust, right? We say, what do you mean it's to teach us to trust? It's to teach us to trust God. That's what tithing is there for. Do you think God needs your 10%? You think God ever sat back and said, man, there's some really cool stuff I'd like to do if only they'd give their tithe? I don't think that ever happened. I think that God is capable of producing money out of nothing if he wanted to. I think he's capable of producing goods and produce and whatever he wanted to out of anything. And he is not held back by our disobedience. But what's interesting is this, is that what's the hardest thing for you and I to let go of? Money, right? Possessions, that 10%. How many, listen, confessions of a preacher. I've had a hard time tithing before. Hey, listen, paycheck to paycheck's tough to live on. Mouths to feed, bills to pay. It's tough to give tithes sometimes. But what it teaches me is this. It teaches me to trust in God. Why? Because this, if I don't trust in God, if I don't give him my tithe, I'm developing this false sense of dependency that I can take care of myself. You know what I mean? Just in case you don't do what I want you to do, I've got this and I can depend on myself and I can pay my bills and I can provide for my family. God, just in case you don't do all the things that I think you need to do, I'm gonna hold on to my tithe. So tithing is an exercise really in trust. And one of the last things that God wants to tell his people before this 400 years of silence is, listen, you need to trust in me. So, something that I think you and I experience as we go through our in-between times. Y'all ever been in an in-between time? Y'all ever been in between jobs? Y'all ever been in between phases of life? I thought that like that was just a college thing, that you had like an in-between time when you were in college. It's really not. It's the rest of your life. Now, like, I'm waiting for that moment when my kids are old enough that I don't have to, like, you know, do everything for them. Some of you are waiting for that moment in life when your grandkids are, you know, they're at their next phase, or you're at this point in time, or you're at this point in time, and you're waiting on that next phase in life. And so as you and I are waiting in life, and we're in these in-between phases, the first thing I think God wants to tell us is to trust him for those in-between moments in our life. The second thing I think he wants to tell us comes from Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave to him at Hebron for all of Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn hearts of parents to their children and hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." This one he starts out with, and he says, God instructs his people to remember and listen to all he said. Remember and pay attention. There may be a time when memories is all you have, he says, and so you need to remember, you need to pay attention to what I've told you to do. Y'all ever been to that moment in life where it feels like God's just not doing anything? Not bad. It's not like life's terrible. It's not like life's not good. It's not like you have all these problems that are just overwhelming you. But it just seems like God's not really active in your life right now. You go through Sundays, you go through Wednesdays, you go through church services, you go through these different things, and it never really feels like God's doing anything actively in your life right now. See, what's interesting to me about this is God tells his people to remember. In other words, he tells them, hey, listen, there may be a time when you don't have something going on in your life and you need to remember what I've done. Why do you need to remember what I've done? Because that keeps you faithful. That keeps you continuing to do what you're supposed to do. To remember all the things that I've done and listen to all the things I've told you. Man, it's crazy to think that the nation of Israel, they had this like inscribed rock that had the very words of God inscribed on it, and everything that God wanted to tell them, they had written down in these books. If only we had something like that in our life. What a difference that could make. Y'all ever wonder what God's trying to tell you? Y'all ever actually go looking for what God's trying to tell you? He says to remember and to listen to all he said. But then he also goes on in that passage and he talks about this coming of Elijah. Now the people understood that this wasn't actually the coming of the prophet Elijah. Elijah had died. He'd gone to heaven. I'm sorry, I don't know. Elijah wasn't going to come back. That's the point. Elijah wasn't going to come back. They weren't looking for that, but they were looking for someone like him. They were looking for someone who was going to be about this process of restoration. When you read about this, it talks about parents and children's hearts turning back to each other. It's the idea that there's going to be a prophet that's going to come one day who's going to be about restoration. He's going to be about fixing what's broken, restoring the brokenness, the hurt in the world. See, God wants you to look during those times of in between. He wanted his nation to look during those times of in between for restoration. He wants you and I to look during our times of in betweens for restoration. Anybody got any brokenness in their life? Any hurt? Maybe the time of in-between that God's got you in, he's trying to show you that there's some restoration out there. There's some fixing that can go on. There's some healing that can happen. And it's all through his son, Jesus. So, that kind of takes us to the end of the Old Testament and puts us into the beginning of the New Testament. I'm going to go to Luke's passage. And in Luke's passage, you find the birth story of Jesus from a little bit different perspective. Matthew gives it from a much of a genealogical, this is who Jesus was. Luke kind of gives it this personal touch. Luke talks about the family of Jesus, and he talks specifically about Mary's family, is how he starts his gospel out in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, you have the story of a man named Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was a priest. He worked in the temple. It says some interesting things about Zechariah and Elizabeth. In verses number 5, 6, and 7, it talks about how both Elizabeth and Zechariah were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees. They were blameless. Now, those are some big terms. When I read that and I hear that someone is righteous in God's eyes, they're blameless. That means that they have this reputation of doing what's right, right? Zechariah and Elizabeth both had this reputation by the people around them of doing what was right. There's one problem though. As you read through the story, and this is the summary note, this is the cliff notes of the story. An angel comes to Zechariah when he goes in to pray his prayer and offer his incense, the incense prayer. An angel comes and meets him and says, hey, listen, I know your wife's been barren, but she's going to have a child. And Zechariah says, no, that can't happen. How do I know you're telling me the truth? An angel says, it's the truth, and here's how you know it's the truth. You're not going to be able to talk from now until your baby's born. Zechariah actually can't talk from the time that he sees the angel until his baby's born. The baby's born, and the baby is conceived, and then the baby is born, and that's John the Baptist, who's actually the cousin of Jesus. second cousin, something like that. That's the summary of the story. But in there, you see this idea where Zechariah does what's right, but then he's met with this glaring doubt in verse number 18. Verse number 18, this is what Zechariah says to the angel. He said, How can I be sure of this? I'm old, and my wife is along in years. See, I think the danger that we need to look out for in the in-between is this, doing what's right, but not really having faith. Y'all know what I mean? How many of you came to church today because it's what you're supposed to do? Anybody heard the story about the preacher who had a drug problem? He was drugged to church as a kid. I can't relate to that at all. No, I actually like going to church as a kid. But is it interesting? Zechariah did what was right, but he still lacked faith. Church, can I tell you that you can be here today on the in-between Sunday, the day between Thanksgiving and Christmas and all those different things. You can do all the right things. You can bring the biggest Bible that anyone's ever seen. And you can still lack faith and be missing completely what God has for your life. See, Zechariah and Elizabeth both did what was right. But Zechariah had this glaring lack of faith and doubt that captured his life. In our in-betweens, I pray that we're met with obedience, but not just obedience, but with faith as well. Their story also continues, and you look at it again. Some things that stood out to me in verse number 13, the angel said to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard." But then down in verse 17, the angel is talking about Zechariah's son, and he says, "He will go before the Lord in the spirit of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of their parents to their children, and disobedience to wisdom and righteousness, and make ready the people for preparation for the Lord." It's interesting. I think Zechariah goes in that day and he does his priestly duties. He goes to offer his prayer. And as he does that, I wonder if he actually expects God to answer him. It's funny because as I read this, I don't get the sense that he really did. The first thing is the angel tells him, "Hey, listen, don't be afraid. God's heard your prayer." But then Zechariah, he gets that God's heard it, but he gets the response. But sometimes it's not enough to simply want a response from God. We also need to listen. I've got four kids. Numbers 2 and 3 are getting to this point where they know the responses that you're supposed to respond with. So, like, I'm going to pick on her because she's in service today, and so I can. Evie, I'll say Evie, and I'll be like, "Evie, you don't need to eat something that you're not supposed to eat, or it's not good. It's not a good idea to ride the dog through the house or something like that." And Evie will kind of look at you, and she kind of gets, you know, distracted every once in a while, but she says, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." I said, "Evie, what did I just say?" "Hey, Dad, did you know that there's a dog in our house?" I'm like, "Yes, Evie, I'm just talking about riding the dog through the house." And she knows the right response, but she doesn't actually listen to what's going on. And see, I think it's interesting because I think that Zechariah, he knew the response was coming. He knew that God was a God who would answer prayers. And so he wasn't so much shocked by the fact that God responded to his prayer, but he wasn't really listening to what God was responding with. Because you find verse 17, and verse 17 almost exactly quotes what God promised over in Malachi. "Hey, listen, this prophet who's going to come, he's going to be like Elijah. He's going to be about the act of restoration, of bringing families together, of bringing back what's broken." And the very next question that Zechariah asks the angel is, "How do I actually know this is from God?" Because this is what God said all those years ago. This is what he's doing right now. See, he hears a response, but he doesn't actually listen to what God's saying. I wonder how many of us actually come into church and we offer prayers, we offer requests, we make these things requests of God. But the response we get isn't the one we want, and so we don't listen to what God has to say. Y'all ever prayed for somebody that God, they would come to know Christ, or you prayed that something would happen good in somebody's life, and all of a sudden you felt kind of inclined to go and share with that person? And you say, well, no, God, you understand. I wanted you to send the preacher to go talk to that person. Well, no, God, you don't understand. I wanted their situation to be fixed, but I didn't want to be the one that got my hands dirty and fixed it. I wonder if sometimes we don't like the response, and so we stop listening, like Zechariah did. Something else Zechariah does that I think is kind of not the best move. He comes, but he's not actually looking for God to do anything. Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by Allah, according to the customs of the priesthood, to go into the temple and burn the incense. Zechariah was there. Y'all ever heard the phrase, showing up is half the battle? I think that's true. Showing up is a big part of it. But see, I don't know that it's actually enough to just show up. Because I don't think Zechariah was really expecting God to do anything when he went in and offered that prayer that day. Actually, I don't think, not just Zechariah, I don't think even the priests that were there that day expected God to do anything that day. Jump down to verse 21 in your notes. Verse 21, it says, meanwhile, the people were waiting on Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. If I can get real personal, church, for just a moment. Why do you come in here? You came, you showed up to church. Do you expect that God was going to do anything today? Do you expect to hear from him? Do you expect to read his word and all of a sudden have something be convicted in your life, or something realize that you need to give over, something you need to do? There needs to be a change that needs to make you more like Christ. Did you come today expecting God to do anything in your life today? Are you sitting here, hey, you said you got a baptism, preacher. We got to beat some, the Pentecostals are going to get to La Herradura before us, and that just ain't all right. If we go over an hour, something's wrong. Meanwhile, the people were wondering why Zechariah stayed in the temple so long. See, even the priests that were there with Zechariah didn't expect that God was going to do anything. During that 400 years of silence, what had actually happened is the people had become cold, they'd become distant, they'd become hard-hearted towards the things of God. And so they came to worship, they came to the time of the temple where they were supposed to go in, they were supposed to offer their prayers, they were supposed to show up to church, they were supposed to do what they were supposed to do, but they never expected anything that would happen there. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're in the in-between time in your life, whatever your in-between phase is. You're doing the right things, you're coming to church, you're showing up. But you're not really expecting that God's going to do anything. If that's you this morning, my prayer for you is this. You'll start to expect that God's going to do some really amazing things. Because he's always active. He's always doing something. He's waiting for his people to look for opportunities to be involved. Now, because I love you, we've got a lot of notes still to go. That's going to be next week. So come back next week and find out the rest of the story. Because as much as we've looked at things that aren't good, the story of Elizabeth and Mary are marked with great things that good people do in the in-between times. And you see the blessing of God in their life. So we're going to have it be a continuation. You can keep listening. If you keep your listening guides, you can just fill in next week. If not, we'll have them for you. I'm just joking. But let's pray together. God, thank you for today. Father, thank you for this story of in-between times. God, it seems so simple. God, that all of us have in-between times in our life. But God, I pray this morning that as we go through in-between times as a church, as this group of people go through in-between times, Father, that it will be marked by faith. It will be marked by trust. God, it will be marked not just by showing up, but by expecting great and wonderful things from you. Lord, I pray that for the remainder of this year, as we go into next year, as a church, when we come to worship, God, that we will come expecting great things from you. Father, we will remember all the amazing things you do in our life. And Lord, we will walk forward every step of the next day with a newfound faith and trust in you. God, we pray that you'd be with this invitation now. And Lord, we pray that you would do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.